Hello, you're listening to The Joys of Teaching Literature. We're talking about teaching literature, making it fun for our students, making it stress-free for us, not taking work home, going into work super happy, super excited, and having classrooms where everybody raises their hand to talk. And all right, when's the last time that happened? No, actually, this, I think what I'll talk about today is one of those moments where that can happen, and I'll talk about why. I see a lot more hands shoot up in the air for the types of conversations that come out of what I've been talking a lot about, which is free literacy blocks. But I'll talk about that in a second. If you want to know more about me, I have online professional development for high school English teachers and general education teachers. So if you know, this is mid-July right now, if you got a little bit, a couple weeks or month left before school starts, and you want to try to get new ideas for next year, if you've been struggling to get your kids to be engaged in your classes because of the pandemic, I have a ton of different topics that you don't have to take all of them. You can just take a few, depending on how many credits you need or just what you're interested in. You can take Shakespeare, you can take how to give feedback on essays, video essays, podcasts, project-based learning, which is what I'm talking about today. So, you know, if that, you can download all my sort of classroom resources, I can walk you through them and just sort of show what I do in my classroom. A bunch of other teachers have taken the course, so you can see their responses to my questions about all these different topics. So you can get a variety of different perspectives there. And that's why I call it Teacher's Workshop, because I feel like there's a need for teachers just talking to each other about what they do every day to become better at what they do every day. And that's you can find that at theteachersworkshop.com. All right, so the title of this episode is Modern Learning with Free Literacy Blocks. There are many students that love fiction for the world it creates, the brand new world that exists only within the front and back cover of the book. The country and culture of the book's origin doesn't always matter. Of course, you could argue that it always matters depending on how you read books, but really, you know, anybody should be able to pick up any book, read it, and just interpret it based on the words on the page and not all this sort of extra stuff that is the stuff of the real world. It's the stuff of fantasy, imagination, and pure creativity. The book is the book, and that's it. You know, the life experiences of the author don't matter either, right? The date the book was written, all of that stuff. You know, I do a lot with Shakespeare, and there's different times when I do it. But I think that, interestingly enough, there are students that are like us and just like fiction's sake. Every writer brings their experiences with them when they write, but they also set them down on the side so they can create art for everyone, not just themselves. That's sort of the point, right, is that you craft this world. If you were to just tell your story, be a memoir, and yeah, I've read some really great memoirs. I was just looking at Lifeguard. I managed a pool in the summer, and they were reading Tara Westover's memoir, and we do that as summer reading at my school as well, and it's called Educated, and it's memoir's great. That story is an amazing. It's something that if it was fiction, you'd probably be like, this is really far fetched. There's no way this would happen. But as far as like the literary elements of it, you know, what are you keeping track of? What's the ideas that intersect? What's the suspense? What's the sort of poetic language that's being used? Where are there points where you're not sure what's going on and why? Flashbacks, you know, that sort of thing that makes reading fun for us, you know, as English majors, not just English teachers. That's all the stuff that brings some of our kids, right? This is where I'm going with this, to love literature. But many students don't appreciate that imaginary world. I don't know if I want to say it's like more than 50% or less, like if it's most of our students, or not that many of our students, but there's definitely a lot that need to see their own world and life, their own life, in the words on the page. It's the reason we started teaching Exit West, because there was these sort of long passages about, you know, this couple that's been into using their, they have to be into using their phone because of the context of their situation. And so it's it just has that element of their life in it. You know, Great Expectations doesn't have that. You know, even Kite Runner doesn't have that, where there's just, you know, a couple that has a relationship with their phone. You know what I mean? The more contemporary literature that we get, kids are maybe thinking about that world that they're living in when they're reading another book. Those kinds of students, they want to know, you know, the ones that can't go back 300, 400, 2,000 years, right? If you're reading Oedipus or something, they're not able to read those old books and see why they're important, right? So we still want to reach those kids, and we want all of our kids to really love reading, to be deep thinkers, to think about the world that they live in, to participate, you know, as citizens in the world that they live in, to think critically about the world that they live in, right? That's sort of the point. The point is to read a book and be able to, you know, reading, writing, or arithmetic, right? It's, you want them to primarily be good writers, but if you want them to be good writers, they do need to think about the things, the stuff of the world that they live in. And I think we can do this indirectly. We can talk about informational text, whatever we call it, nonfiction, and talk about fiction in the same conversation, and have it be organic and not, you know, sometimes there's moments where, hey, this is happening in this book. Here's this article or this essay that sort of links to that sort of nonfiction or informational, whatever you want to call it, context. That's going to help you understand the book better. Let's read about that, the Harlem Renaissance, or, you know, Elizabeth in England, or whatever it might be. You know, at the same time, I think that some of the conversations that we have about the world that we live in can help students understand characters. I'll get to this in a second. I mean, think about essential questions, right? I'll give you some examples in the project, the Free Literacy Blocks project that I have. Ultimately, whatever the question is, whatever the topic is, if there is a topic or an idea, joy, imagination, death, suffering, you know, hardship, whatever it is, friendship, those ideas you can talk about in today's world and then go back to the novel, right? So you can talk about the novel, but you can also talk about the world that you live in, and not just spontaneously, where you're sort of thinking of something off the top of your head. A lot of that happens in class conversations when you're talking about a novel, you're talking about a character, you're like, hey, well, what do you guys think about, you know, college, or, you know, work, or something like that, right? Where there's something, say, in Charles Dickens, that's, you know, like crime and, you know, punishment and getting in trouble for things or whatever. There's different ways that you can sort of pull in the contemporary world into those conversations. But there's also ways where you can bring the informational texts, and I'm sort of, again, I'll get to this in a second. There's a lot of different informational texts. You know, text is words, but we also have podcasts and videos, and a lot of them, a ton of them, on the internet right now, right? All on topics that are contemporary. So those conversations we have primarily about those things, you know, it's sort of like, you can do both. You can talk about fiction and talk and also address and have conversations about the real world, but also do the reverse, where you're primarily focused on something, a video, a podcast, and then go backwards and go back to the fiction, because that's what I'm sort of doing with this project. But it's for those kids that are more interested in the nonfiction and the informational text. So you're going backwards, where you're pulling them back to the literature and saying, isn't this interesting how this relates to the book that we're reading? It's not all about that either. This is also just about taking a break from the literature and having good conversations about anything and everything, because that's what language is about. That's what philosophy is about. That's what good conversation is about. It's about public speaking, and we're not just doing, you know, writing. We want them to be good speakers and have good conversations and all those different skill, the sort of literary skills that we want. Students want to clearly see the intersection between the fictional story and the real story. And not just the story of the writer's life and time, but their own story, living in a complicated, beautiful, exciting, and sometimes disappointing world, right? They want to be a part of that. If we want kids to be good creative writers where they can tell their own story, whether it be in fiction or nonfiction, then they have to think about the world that they live in, right? Nobody wants to read a book where the character doesn't really think about what it means to be a modern citizen or a modern person in the world. And so that's what we have to allow them to become a part of if we want them to be excellent writers. What better way to give them time than to do just that, explore the world they live in and make sense of it? This is, of course, a job for history and social studies teachers, but language teachers know how to help students imagine an argument and a philosophy that's all their own. Once they can get the chance to talk about all the interesting issues of the modern world, they will make connections to the characters and plot lines in novels, short stories, and poems. Just as we create essential questions to open up class conversations about literature, they can also be used to open up conversations about literary nonfiction in podcasts, videos, and essays. We want our students to think deeply about the world they live in, just like all great writers do. So in free literacy blocks, students get the opportunity to spend a short amount of time each week, about 20 minutes, exploring modern topics. They learn to voice their opinion and also respect and consider the opinion of others. It's an important life skill, even as kids spend more and more time communicating with the exchange of virtual texts and images. So basically, the project that I have, that's kind of the reason to do it. Last year, I think I gave basically too much free time where students were just doing, like, they were spending time doing work for the other classes, which I didn't know if they were or not. They got too wrapped up in one thing, whether that be writing short stories. I don't know. There was definitely a mix of students that just kind of took advantage of it and didn't do anything. We all have those students. Or they just like browse the internet or whatever, right? Which is sort of what I wanted them to do, but just in a more academic, more serious sense than just like actually browsing the internet. And I try to point, say you have students who are into sports. That was fine for them, and they spent time doing that sort of thing. I just felt like it was a little too chaotic because I wasn't sure where everybody was at. I think there were times where I didn't give them time. Sometimes we had really good conversations. Yeah, when you do a year-long project, it gets kind of all over the place. So basically, what I came up with was and I used to divide it in terms of genre, but now I'm doing it in terms of medium. So the first section is going to be podcasts, and that's really where the bulk of the work I have is. And then there's video, then there's text, and then there's the free literacy block. So basically, for 20 minutes a week, everybody's got different sort of schedules where you have to work that in. We have a block schedule every 6 days, so that's where I have an extra 20 minutes to sort of play with. Otherwise, the period feels really long, so I do it during that period. We have regular 45-minute periods for 4 days and then block periods for 2 days. So depending on your schedule, you can sort of fit it in wherever you need to fit it in. And it's hard to know exactly what's going to take, how much time things are going to take, because the conversations sometimes take a really long time and the research sometimes takes a really long time. Sometimes I would give them an entire period if I was out because, I was sick or something like that. Then I would it's an easy sort of sub plan if you're not doing anything else in class or you just have the opportunity to give them a full period to pursue this project. But again, in those situations, I felt like they just weren't doing work. some of them were pursuing it. A lot of them weren't. So it's just in my district, they actually encouraged us to take risks with different kinds of projects like this and to see how they go. And then it's in place of our annual performance review. So that's sort of why I did it. It's like, it's all about the lesson you learn and then you improve it for the next year where you can do something new. So anyway, so there's 40 in the project that I have online. There's 40 podcasts. So, you know, maybe you have 20 students in a class. That's two podcasts per student. Again, you can sort of organize this however you want, but they basically present a summary of that podcast. So everybody else in the class is not doing 40 podcasts, right? You're just doing one or two. You're responsible for one or two. So I usually put it online, like go online, find, the podcast that I assigned you. So, if you can let them pick which one, that sort of thing, like first come, first serve, which podcast do you want to listen to and talk about? Either way, they just present a summary to the class. So we don't have to listen to the entire, I have a podcast unit that's separate, where we all as a class listen to an entire podcast. But this is just one student listening to one podcast, giving a summary to the class. And then that summary can function as an essential question where I come back with just questions about the content of the podcast. If other people have questions about it, the student can respond to their questions. But we take the topic of the podcast, not the actual podcast. So again, I have a different unit for studying podcasts and how they're organized and structured and that sort of thing. But this is really just for the sake of having good conversations. So we take the topic and then answer that question. And we obviously can come back to the points that were made about the topic in the podcast, but ultimately it opens up a big conversation where I started this show, everybody's raising their hand. And my experience with these types of projects, when it's a whole class conversation, everyone's raising their hands. You typically get the, 5 or 10 students who are eager to participate in a conversation about a novel or a short story or poem. You can always cold call, but the objective is to get to all students, and this project is the best. Typically, it's either everyone raising their hand or it's just students talking. One person stops talking, somebody senses that they're about to finish talking, and somebody else raises their hand. And there's 3 or 4 hands every single time that somebody is talking, and it's coming from different groups of kids. It's not the typical kids who always raise their hand in class. It's everybody, and I don't even participate. And some of the topics are really political. I participate when I need to. If there's people that are disagreeing with each other, and I need to kind of be the devil's advocate or be the person in the middle, sort of summarizing both sides of the argument, whatever it is, just to or give food for thought. A lot of the times, if somebody's saying something, I'm like, hey, did you know this? Or did you see this in the news? Or what about this? And I sort of point them in different directions with our conversation about that topic. Sometimes a person will summarize a podcast, or I'll give you different examples of different things that they can sort of summarize for the class. But they will just talk about that topic for the entire period. Sometimes it goes 10 minutes. Sometimes it goes 45 minutes. And because it's just this conversation, we're just having a conversation. And some of them are very political in nature. And so it's great because I can just listen to what everybody else is saying. I don't have to have opinion. I can just state facts about what I know on the topic. I don't have to be an expert on every topic. I can just throw different things out there. And if I'm not an expert on the topic, I could just say, okay, who wants to present, who wants to present next? That was a good conversation. That sort of thing. So that's the podcast section. So that's basically how the conversations will go. So you have 20 minutes a week. So you give, the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're just giving time to listen to the podcast, take notes on the podcast, and then you open it up to the class. If you want, in the past, I've also allowed students just to have online conversations. During the pandemic, obviously, it was better for them to summarize online. People can comment or ask questions. These are have a virtual conversation. But I really like it now that we're back in school to have real conversations. So the second part, so that goes however long it goes. So you're stopping every 20 minutes a week to have those conversations for as long as you can have them. I think with the podcast, since there's 40 of them, you're asking this is the other thing. Since you're assigning every single student a podcast, then ultimately everyone's is contributing to sort of forcing everybody to contribute to the conversation, even if it's just summarizing. So those quiet kids who don't usually talk, they should be comfortable giving a brief summary, a couple of minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes, whatever it is, on something that they listen to. So that's good too. So it kind of forces kids to come out of their shell a little bit, get comfortable talking in front of the class, that sort of thing. So that's the first section of the podcast. The second section is video. And so I'm trying this for the first time next year because I also, not by genre, because I used to do personal narratives, politics. I had different sort of topics that we covered. But I'm just sort of opening it up to everything every single time this time. And then what we might talk about is, okay, what's the difference between a podcast and a video? What's the difference between a video and just words? So we can just have that conversation. So we're actually thinking about all of these, again, different sort of media literacies that exist. We are focused on writing in an English class, but there are other ways of communicating information. What's the difference when you're talking on a stage, if it's a TED Talk or if it's got graphics and different things, or if it's a I have short documentaries, I have all different kinds of videos. And you know, the cool thing about videos, we can, or even a podcast, with all of these things in the summaries, I encourage them to play clips. Like, hey, if you want to play like a minute clip, just so we can get a feel for, you know, or the introduction, or maybe the conclusion was really interesting to you. So you can sort of play it for just a little bit. So we're not listening. Again, I have another unit where we're listening to the full podcast, but this would just be a small clip. Or if it's a video, we can just watch for a little bit. And then that clip, hopefully there will be something that we can talk about that will come out of that clip. So in the project that I have online, there's links to all these different videos. All of these, this is a challenge too, because I have a lot of essays from anthologies and things that are not accessible because you have to pay for it. All of the links that I have are on websites that are free and open to the public. So that's cool too. So that's the second part is video. And then, and with the idea with all of this is that, and this is how you keep them engaged. Because I know I tend to shy away from presentations because there's one person engaged and that's the person that's giving the presentation. And then everybody else is tuning them out and they're bored and they're on their phone. I have a huge packet where there's a link to the title of whatever source. And then the question, and then a space to answer the question. So they're taking notes not just on the summary, but also their response to the question, which is a more meaningful question than, you know, the thing that came out of the podcast or the video. So as everyone's presenting, they're taking notes, and then when the conversation starts, they can just read back their notes and read back their thoughts. So they have something that they can share because they were writing it down while they were listening to somebody else present. So that's key too. So you're not really expecting people to think on their feet, which is, you know, this is a hard thing, right? Because you're talking about all these different topics, and people don't always remember what they're thinking. But if they're taking notes while they're listening to the summaries, then they'll have something to talk about and they have a point that they'll want to make or a question that they want to ask while they do it. And then there's also, since it's a free literacy block, you could take 1 week just to give them time to reflect. Like, hey, look over your notes, look at all the different things that you thought, and I want you to free write. Just you can write in a journal, you can tell stories, just think about some, you know, philosophize about the world that you live in. So that's always an option too. The third part is text. So they basically, that's where it's just words, basically. And, you know, that's your more sort of traditional article. I like the word essay because it just means it's a piece of writing. So it's, you know, it's really, I picked a lot of different creative nonfiction. Some of them are long. Some of them are short. Some are a little bit longer. That's where, obviously, for 20 minutes, they're going to be reading silently, maybe for, you know, that's, again, another two sessions where they're reading for 40 minutes. But they could probably get it done in 20 minutes, depending on how fast your kids read. And then same thing. So with the video, they summarize it. They might play a clip. With the text, they summarize it. They might read a section of it out loud for the class. And then out of that text comes another essential question where people can talk about different things basically where they agree or disagree with the text and all of that. The idea here too is that as students listen to these summaries, they might want to go and read those articles or essays themselves. They might want to go watch the video themselves. Like, man, that sounded really interesting. Why don't I want to go home and read that. And so obviously you can put the assignment online and they can click on the video when they get home. And so that in that sense, they're just pursuing something. And that's also why it's this free literacy block, because they can kind of pursue this. And maybe that's a set. Maybe that's when the conversation over, the conversation's over. You can allow students, hey, you know, take 20 minutes. This is for this week. This is what we're going to do. You're going to sort of look back on all your notes, find one video that you found really interesting from last week in our conversations, and I want you to watch that video and take notes on it. You know, so that's another way of extending this. This could be really long. I think at a minimum, it takes 4 weeks. I feel like in my class, over the course of a year, it probably takes more like 6 weeks. So it's a whole unit. So you know, this is something that would replace an entire novel unit, because you're just stopping periodically throughout the year. And I like this too, because it gives my students more time to read the novels. It kind of, right, it's a half a class period. So it's, you know, if you do that every week, that's a couple of class periods. It just gives them a little bit more time to read the novel at home. You could do this however you'd like. If you want, there's times when I stop and I don't do the 20 minutes a week. I just stop for a week and have conversations for a week. And you know, I give them more time to read the novel. And I'll do that deliberately, say it's Beloved by Toni Morrison, something like that. It's a really challenging book, and I want to give them an extra week to read the book at home, because my students read the entire book on their own. I can stop and give them that whole week as a way of sort of delaying the due date for reading check. I don't do reading checks. I have them write notes. So that's, you know, something that you can do too. All right, so the last section is the free literacy blocks. That's where you give them complete freedom to pursue whatever topic they want. Maybe it's going back into the project. Hey, go back and any podcasts that sounded interesting to you, go listen to them. They have all these websites now. So if it's from CNN or if it's from New York Times or Freakonomics or Hidden Brain, right, all these different podcasts, you can encourage them to go to say, hey, did you really like that podcast? You can go to the website, find another podcast, right? So now they have all these sources. There's 82 total, right? So 82 total sources, websites with essays on them. You know, I have the American Scholar. All these different things. So they have plenty of places that they can go. And in the handout that I have, I think it's 3 or 4 sources. So you can tell them, all right, for this week, I want you to find one source and take notes on it. Next week, all right, find another source, take notes on it, right? So in that sense, they're finding a topic of interest and pursuing it. And then so you can do that for however long you I think I have it for 6 weeks here, where they just pursue their own thing. And then they, in the end of the year, when they're done taking the AP exam or whatever it is, you just want to give them some free time to do something, because it's June, you can have them create the project. So the project comes out of the free literacy blocks. And so they can do whatever they want for that. Basically, they can create a podcast. They can create a video essay. They can do a short film. They can do something more creative where they're like, you know what? I talked about like social interactions with social media or global warming or, you know, taxes. I don't know. We cover a lot of different topics. So they can take that topic and develop a story that deals with that topic or that idea, and express their understanding of that idea through a short story, again, through a short film. They can do a visual essay where they can take photographs, or they can create a graphic, or they can just write a traditional essay if they want. They can write journals if they want. And it's supposed to be a sort of reflection of what they learned throughout the whole thing. So they can sort of look at what they've done. If they're a writer, they can write. If they're more tech inclined, they can make the video. They can interview other people on the topic that is interesting to them and create a podcast. So they're basically doing the things they just studied, right? So maybe they can do a TED Talk themselves where they're giving a speech and it's a video recording in a room of people, whatever it is. So all the things that they just saw or watched or read, they can produce that themselves, and that's their choice because that's how life is, right? They have their choice to express themselves in whatever way possible. So it's very realistic in that sense, both in the content. Oh, yeah, and I said I was going to give some examples. There's one that dealt with mass shootings. It's called It's Okay That We're Alive. And my central question is, how can America end mass shootings? Why does our country have so many mass shootings? There's one from Throughline called The Freedom of Speech. So my central question is, what kind of speech should be allowed in the media and what should be restricted? So that I feel like the concept of cancel culture or whatever will get them talking. There's one called The Godfather of AI Has Some Regrets. So my question with that one is, how will AI impact society? There's one called Apple's $3,500 Goggles. My question is, how will virtual reality and the metaverse influence how people live and interact? Let's see there. Those are all podcasts. So there's a video called Segregation by Design. And my question is, how did cities come to be segregated and what can we do about it? What else do I have here? There's one TED Talk, Does Working Hard Really Make You a Good Person? And my question with that one is, what makes a person moral? So I basically just searched for videos, articles. You know, here's one called Why Video Games Matter. And my question is, what are the pros and cons of playing video games? All right, so this is a little sample of the Free Literacy Block project that I have that will open up conversations. I tried to pick things that are of interest to teenagers, but are also very important issues in our society today that a lot of kids are passionate about, or at least have a opinion about. There's a few on education and school in there. In my online course, I have a section for Free Literacy Blocks where I kind of give you the visual of the project and sort of walked you through it. That's the one that I did last year. And so this is what I'm thinking about doing for next year. So this was a long one. Thanks for listening. I know I was rambling a bit, but hopefully it'll give you some good ideas for what you can do in your classrooms. If you enjoy listening, please, give me a rating or whatever, wherever you get your podcast so that I can reach more people. Thank you very much.